someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
Psalm 75. Psalm 75, verses 5 to 7. I'd like for all of us to read verses 5 to 7 of Psalm 75. Are we there? Let's go. The title of our message is The Making of Champions. The Making of Champions. Lord, we ask this morning, say it and do it. Say it and do it. You told Samuel, fill your horn with oil. I have appointed for me a king in the house of Jesse. And Lord, the horn of oil is full. Because in this service, there is a king. In this service, there is a son of God, there is a daughter of God that is about to be exalted. This service is a promotion service. This service is a promotion exercise, supernatural promotion exercise. In this service, everybody's file is opened. And Lord, this morning, there is approval granted from heaven for everyone under the sound of my voice to move to a new level in all spheres of life. Lord, this service will produce wonders. We thank you. As you honor your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Do not lift up your horn on high. Don't speak with a stiff neck. There is nothing you have to be proud of. Why? Promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Actually, God is the judge of all. And he lifts up one and put down the other. It's not in the east. It's not in the west. It's not in the south. Help me to tell your neighbor, it's not in any location. It's in Revelation. It's not in the east. It's not in the west. It's not in the south. The God that we serve can prosper anywhere. Am I right? If you put him in the desert, he will prosper there. If you put him in the forest, he will do well. If you put him on water, he will do well. If you put him in the sky, he will prosper there. We are created in his image. If location is still an excuse why you are not making it, your dominion is still limited. That's why. It's not in location. It's in the person. It's in the revelation and the power that flows from him. Let's read from Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes is right after the book of Proverbs. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 11. He says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. the things you could pride yourself in as giving you the entitlement to success are things that won't work. They are limited. Oh, so you are swift. You are fast. You know how to do it. You have speed. You are better than everybody else around. Here is the news. The race is not to the swift. Then it says, nor the battle to the strong. We thank God you are strong. Educationally, you are strong. Financially, you are strong. Emotionally, you are strong. Physically, you are strong. Unfortunately, sometimes, the strong still lose the battle. For a good deal of the time. Now it says, nor bread to the wise or to the intelligent. They run tests for us. They try to measure our IQ level. You can pass all the aptitude tests. You know, this is the day of aptitude tests that they use to embarrass young people who are looking for after 5, 6 years or even 7 by reason of ASU and NASU. And Sano, plus Nance. Now, after all those years in the university, after all the study, and coming out with a second class upper, or even first class degree, then they say you should do an aptitude test again. What aptitude are they looking for? That's not already there when you've graduated. Now, even people who have been working, who have been qualified and who have been working for 6 years, if they want to change job, they do aptitude test again. Just to, say, they better forget all those aptitudes. You can pass all the aptitudes and still not get a job. Is it aptitude you want to pass or is it a job you are looking for? You have to make up your mind. Neither bread to the wise. There are intelligent but hungry people. If education, you know, that was what they told us then. I know they can't confuse young people now, but before they told all you need is education. A lie. You need something more than that. Neither yet bread to the wise. Our professors were poor. He said, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill. You can be so skilled and yet be lost in oblivion. Nor favor to men of skill. That's why he said in Psalm 75, don't lift your horn up on high and don't parade yourself with a stiff neck. There is nothing you have to be proud about. We could do success motivation like anybody else and teach you hard work is the key to success. Hard work is tough work without God. You will only put your confidence in your hard work if you have not read from Genesis chapter 3. That there is a curse on man. Except that curse is lifted, he is bound to toil and sweat. The curse was, in the sweat of your brow you will eat. And this soil will bring up thorns and briars for you. It's still there. And he says, it's hard work. It's not hard work. It's smart work. Ecclesiastes 10:15 says, the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them because he knows not how to go to the city. Hard work without God will end up in frustration. To the person who believes only in hard work, I say tough luck. It's just a matter of time. It's not hard work. We could teach all the success principles, but we happen to know that there is something beyond that. Promotion does not come from the east. It does not come from the west. It is not in education. It is not in your connection. There is a supernatural dimension to success. Deuteronomy 8:18, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee, and until they give you, you can't get it. And if you don't have it, you don't have it. It is God who gives you the power to prosper. We're not saying that you can't achieve something through hard work and serious mental work and your intelligence, but there's a serious limit to what you can accomplish by your natural ability. Amen. In the Bible, we have the stories of really successful people. I've not found a better success motivation book than this. Abraham was a man who was an idol worshiper. He was living in obscurity. Nobody knew his name. And all of a sudden, the Bible says, the Lord said, get out of your country. Move away from the environment you're familiar with. I will take you to a land that I will show you. And say, when you get there, I will make of you a great nation. I will make your name great. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God spoke, Abraham obeyed and became a wonder. God spoke, Abraham obeyed. This man was doing well before, thank God, but there was a limit to his success. Until the day God spoke. I'm glad to let you know that there's no extraordinary man anywhere. You only have ordinary men backed by an extraordinary God. There is no extraordinary. When God has stepped into your case, you now look like a star. People will now be looking, coming to you. People will come to you and now ask you, how are you doing it? You two will now pose and be giving some explanation that sometimes you two don't understand. God stepped in. Amen. That's what makes a star. That's what makes a champion. In the kingdom, ordinary men backed by an extraordinary God, flesh and blood. Thank God I have the privilege of working with some great men and great women. And one of the first things you discover about them is that they are not special. They don't have two heads. Their brain is not designed in any special way other than your own. In fact, some of them are disadvantaged people. Naturally speaking, some don't even have as much education as you would think, because some people really think it's education. If there was something more than PhD, they would get it. Then you find out they don't have PhDs. Some of them. You wonder, what is it? Then you check into their background and you are shocked that they also come from villages like most of us. Everybody's posing around like a Lagosian. Most people came from villages. Some their names are not even on the map. And you know Nigerians, as long as those villages are within 10 kilometers or 20 kilometers radius of a major town, is in that major town, they will say it's their town. No special person anywhere. You only have ordinary people backed by a special God, an extraordinary God. And something tells me your own story is the next one that will be told. In Jesus' name. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, it is God that works in you both to will and to do. You know, most times we think we succeed because we want to succeed, but even the wanting to is God. There are people we think it's because we're intelligent. Who in his or her right senses will want to fail? But some people just live purposeless lives. For us to even have enough sense to desire to do well in life, it's God. It's God that works in you both to will and to do. So the willingness is God. The doing is God. Those are powerful secrets we must learn. Maybe I want to succeed. You can want to and still not get it. The want to is God. The doing is God. And 1 Timothy 5:24 says, faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. He's the one doing it. He's the one doing it. I see a generation here that will attain achievements that will baffle their generation. Baffle the human mind. Because what God has prepared for us is beyond human ability. So we can take some time to teach the principles, teach faith, teach this, teach confession, teach what you should do, teach planning and goal setting, teach all of that. But somewhere along the line, we have to let people know Africa is too backward naturally for us to be trying to operate natural principles. What God has in mind for, and listen to me, I believe in our own lifetime, I believe this, we will lead the world. We will lead with scriptural proof and scriptural backing. I believe it. We will lead the world. The generation God sent us to raise is not one that will operate by human brain. The road is too long. People are getting powerful ideas here. They don't even know how to go about patenting their inventions. They don't even know how to go about it. They don't even have the resources to turn their ideas into reality. Naturally speaking, we seem to be disadvantaged. But when God steps in, it's a different story. Faithful is he who has called you. You will hear his call. You will hear his voice. That's the starting point. It says, then he will do it. My encouragement this morning for the making of champions is very simple. Develop the ability to pick divine signals. Develop the ability to pick divine signals. If Abraham had missed God's voice in what he had, Genesis 12 verses 1 to 3, if he had missed it, his name would have been lost in obscurity. Nobody would have been mentioning his name by today. And today Abraham has a whole country after his name. A whole country in the natural, and then another country in the spiritual. Because there are natural Jews and there are spiritual Jews. Natural ones are in Israel, the spiritual ones are here. Amen. The descendants of Abraham, by faith. Because he was able to catch that one signal from heaven. There is something coming that will give you a legacy. Long after you have gone, they will still be mentioning your name. Yeah. There are people who, though physically are dead, spiritually they are not dead. Because we are calling them. In fact, there are people today, we don't call them delayed. There are some people you call delayed. There are some people you can't call delayed because they are not late. They are still speaking. When Abel died, God told his brother that Abel's blood was still speaking. There are people who don't die. They only sleep. When I read all through the Bible, I see there are people in the Bible who did not die. They slept. When Jacob was dying, the Bible says that in Genesis 49 that he wittingly gathered his leg and slept. He didn't die. He slept. When Stephen was dying, in Acts 8, when Stephen was dying, they stoned him to death. People who were not happy with what Stephen was saying. Stoned him to death. The man knelt down while they were throwing stones at him. He told them, he lifted up his eyes and said, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God, ready to receive me. God is standing at attention. I mean, Jesus is ready. He said, what do you mean by you are crazy? They stoned him to death. But the Bible didn't say that he died. The Bible said that he slept. I can't read from the book of Timothy now and say the late Apostle Paul said. It's not late. You hear what I'm saying? It's not late. He's still speaking. What he said is still absolutely current. God will give you a legacy. what he said was from his human mind, then we would have said the late. But what he said was what God said. And God is not late. You share God's personality, you share his nature, share his glory when you receive from him. So it can't be the late. What we are reading there is not the voice of a dead man. It's the voice of God who is alive and well. God will give you a legacy. So that even after you have left, you will still be speaking. You believe it, say amen. There are different levels of success. If you run on the ground, you are making progress, isn't it? But there's a vast difference between running on the ground and flying in the air. Different levels. So you can make progress with your natural ability, make progress with your qualification, make progress with everything. But there's a dimension that God has reserved for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9 says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has proposed for those who love him. There's something reserved for you. No eye saw it before, no ear heard it before, but you will see it. You will catch it. Develop the ability to catch divine signals from heaven. That's how the stars in the Bible were made. As soon as Adam and Eve were created, you know, God said in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, let him have dominion. Verse 27 tells us God created them, male and female, he created them in his own image. Verse 28 says, and God blessed them and said, that was the first thing he said. Even though Adam and Eve were created in his image, without getting those signals from him, there was no way they could have fulfilled their destinies. The first thing to happen was something had to flow from God to them. And God blessed them. The God who blessed them this morning blesses you. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, rule over it and have dominion. The starting point is getting signals from heaven. Someone here steps into dominion. Yeah. That was what gave them authority. And they will walk around in the garden and the lion will move away from them. It was that thing that came from heaven. You know, the surest guarantee for you not to die is for you to hear from God. Because from the moment God tells you, it happened to someone in Luke chapter 2, verses 25 and 26, they said there was a devout man whose name was Simeon. And they said it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. There are certain things you must see before you see death. They said he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. There are certain things God has told me now. I must see those things before I see death. Because God works by divine timing. There are certain things you must see before you see death. When God told Abraham, I will give you a son. I'll give you a child. He had to see the child before he will see death. So even when he was approaching 90, 91, 92, 93, 99, and he didn't have the child, he knew he couldn't die. Because he had to see the child. A dead man can't give birth to it. You can't father a child. There are certain things you must see before you see death. So it was revealed unto Simeon that he must see, that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So the man kept parading the temple. He just come one day and say, I'm sorry, have you heard that the Christ has been born? They said, no. He said, praise the Lord. And just go back home. Amen. I guess all his age mates were dying at a point. All his playmates, when they were dying one by one, he was burying all of them, attending their funeral ceremony. And then he would go back to the temple. Have they brought the Christ? They said, no. He said, praise the Lord. Because it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. The day he entered the temple and met Jesus there, he said, "Lord, now let your servant depart in peace. I'm not going to struggle with it. I've seen the Lord's Christ. Anytime from now, I'm set." Hallelujah. When you have heard from God, you can't die until you see the manifestation of what he said. That's the surest guarantee for the preservation of your life. God told Paul the apostle, "Fear not, Paul, for you will appear before Caesar to declare this very message I've given you." Then they said that there were 40 young men who bound themselves by an oath that they would not eat until they had killed Paul. That's how terrible it can get. Some people won't like your face, especially after God has spoken to you. I can guarantee that. They bound themselves by an oath. I can imagine there's somebody somewhere who has already sworn over my dead body, discussing with a herbalist somewhere, or taking your name to the court. This person must not make it. Now, lie. Now, the only guarantee, the only thing that will guarantee that you will escape it is the reception of this divine signals I'm talking about. Well, because the hungrier they get, the more desperate they will become, that you must die. But God said, "Fear not, Paul. You must appear before Caesar in Rome." Now, in Israel, people were not never known to break such oaths. So the 40 of them must have died. You don't tamper with a person who has received a word from heaven. Don't. Everything you do against him will turn into a testimony. The signal that came to Abraham said, "In you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Whoever blesses you is blessed. Whoever curses you is cursed." Divine signals. "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, rule over it, and have dominion." And God now specified there in Genesis 1 the extent of the dominion. He said, "Have dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish in the sea, every creeping thing that moves on the earth. Take over." So your dominion is only established by what you have heard from God. Come with me to Hebrews 11. Let's speak the testimony of another man. Hebrews 11, verse 7. His name is Noah. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. The story of Noah. It says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, for by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Noah would have perished with everybody else, but for the fact that he had the ability to receive divine signals. Consuming the world by a flood anymore, but the world system will always collapse. It will always fail somewhere along the line. Somewhere along the line, the financial system will fail. Somewhere along the line, some things that used to work before will not work anymore. Somewhere along the line, there will be famine. Somewhere along the line, God will interfere. Somewhere along the line, something will go wrong. The only thing that will guarantee, they said, "By faith, this man, being divinely warned, in the whole nation, on the whole earth," there was only one person hearing from heaven. And they said, "By it, he condemns the whole world." you will shine.
Ah.
There are people now who think they know how to do it, but very soon they'll be confused. Because the things that seem to be working for them will not work anymore. Tough gurus in the financial system in Nigeria became confused some years back. They became confused. The things that worked before did not work anymore. Some even buried cows. The cows didn't help. When divine signals come to you, whatever you do in obedience to God creates an ark for you. And the very water that drowns everybody else, you will float on top of it. Prepare an ark just by the reception of divine signals. Someone here is about to receive an instruction about her business that will turn the business around forever. I mean forever. Someone was driving by, and the Holy Spirit just said, buy that property. What for? Buy. He felt that strong impression. So he bought it. The very next week, someone came. They did ask him for the price. They said, we just want to know who owns this property. What they offered him was more than 10 times the amount for which he bought it. Within 1 week. Buy that property. That one is easier. Amen. That one is easier. Absolutely easier. You know the story of Joseph in Genesis 37. I'd like for us to read it. Genesis 37. Genesis 37. I'm sharing all these testimonies from scriptures, because those testimonies are about to be reproduced there. God laid on my heart, I want people to succeed, but I don't want them to struggle to do it. I have a Bible way for doing it. I have a Bible way, cheap way for handling it. Genesis 37 from verse 6 or from verse 5. Genesis 37 from verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Please get ready. If you are someone who hears from heaven, get ready for opposition. Because while explaining the parable of the sower in Matthew 4, Jesus said, persecution ariseth for the word's sake. Persecution arises for the sake of the word. You would expect that his brothers would be happy. He said, I had a dream. He had not even said anything. The Bible said they hated him. The devil knows that as soon as you receive the signals, your destiny is guaranteed. So he will come after you to confuse your reception. God said to Adam and Eve, you are blessed. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, rule over it, subdue it. Have dominion. And the devil came. So did God say that? And God put him in the garden and said, eat of all the fruit. The one in the middle, don't eat. The devil came and said, is it true? God said, you shouldn't eat anything. He said, God didn't say so. He just said the one in the middle of the garden, we should not eat. We should not even touch it. The devil said, God. When will God stop doing like this? He knows that the day you eat it, you will become like God. Liar. They were already like God. They were created in the image and the likeness of God. As soon as Jesus said at River Jordan, as soon as God said over Jesus, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The devil came after him. The first temptation. If you are the son of God. Devil, cut the if off. I am the Son of God. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. My life is depending absolutely on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So devil, you are too late. Since I had it. I believe it. That settled it. If God said it, you can take me up, throw me down, you can pummel me, turn me around. But since God said it, I believe it. And that has settled it. That has settled it. There are some people here, the devil came after you after God spoke to you. You had the worst experience of your life and threw the thing away. Is it God that said this thing? The devil said, it couldn't have been God. Since you are suffering like this, it couldn't have been God who told you. It's a lie. Because that thing you received is the key. Joseph said, I had a dream. They hated him. In verse 6, the guy didn't keep quiet. He told them. If he kept quiet, by the time he came to pass, they would have said it's a lie. That was not, at least you didn't say what you saw. So he said it. So that when it would come to pass, there would have been no doubt as to the fact it was what God showed him that came to pass. So he said to them in verse 6, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. You won't have bad dreams anymore. Some people, when they dream, their sheaf is falling down. Your own will stand up. I saw my own standing up. Amen. I saw my own. The devil won't show you bad pictures anymore. So all that some people see is problem. It's getting worse. It's getting terrible. It is difficult. And what you see is what you get. The man said, I didn't see a problem. I saw the solution. I saw my own standing up. You will stand up. You will rise in life. I thought you would say a big amen to that. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheep stood all around. He was fair, isn't it? Their own too were standing up. It's just that their own bowed down to his own. They didn't like that. They didn't like that. Now, instead of going to look for their own dream, God, what you showed Joseph doesn't seem fair. Show me my own. They didn't ask for any. They fought Joseph. Over his own. His own brothers hated him and sold him into slavery. You can do anything you want to do. As long as the signal the person received is still there. Somewhere along the line, you will become part of the fulfillment of the signal. When the brothers of Jesus was around, Jesus showed up. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. They said, you? He went to his hometown. Nobody believed in him. His brothers, his sisters, nobody. In fact, you know what his brothers told him? They said, all these claims you are making about yourself, mister. There's nobody who has such power and anointing as you claim, who now sits down in the house, boasting in the house. Go and show yourself to the world. He said, you are not serious. Your own time, anytime you can show yourself. My timing is not like that. I wait for divine signal. After he died, his brother became the head of the church. They got saved after he died. Amen. Those who don't believe in you today will believe tomorrow. Just a matter of time. Because sometimes by the time you have heard, it doesn't look like anything has changed in your life. All you have is mouth. I'm the wealthiest person in this family now. He said, go ahead. Wealthiest where? But if what you are saying is what God said, the grass will wither, the flower will fade, but the word of our God will abide forever. There's no point getting angry with somebody who has heard from God. There's no point getting angry. When I started out, I began to hear from God. I didn't look like it. I was telling people, I'm not a local champion. I'm going to the world. It was later I had someone confessed that actually those times that he told someone, if anybody knows these young people very well, help us to tell them that they should stop running after this pastor that is riding a motorcycle. If they have anywhere they want to go in their life, they should stop running after this man who is riding a motorcycle that is almost dead. That motorcycle knocked so many of my friends down many times. The exhaust burnt their legs several times. The motorcycle that was carrying me to preach one day and just went off on the way. I pushed. And I was saying, I'm going to the world. Go to the world on the motorcycle. I can't even start very well.
They sold Joseph into slavery
and didn't know that they were actually helping the fulfillment of his vision.
He saw where he saw how they would bow to him, but he didn't see where. If they had known that it was at Egypt they would bow down, they wouldn't have sold, they would just have left him. In fact, they would have tied him down with ropes. God is a humorous God, and he will always have the last one on the devil. And I'm glad to inform you here today that if God ever said anything to you and the devil came after you, everything the devil has done against you is actually for you. Now, it's because you don't know that you are frustrated. If you knew, you yourself would be rejoicing when they tied you and sold you for 20 shekels.
Frustrated, going around complaining, looking morose, as if God has done the worst thing to you in your life, whereas he's organizing your destiny. There are people who have been sacked, and you didn't know your sack was supernatural. One person was sacked like that. After he was sacked, he started business and became a millionaire within 1 year. The man said, they fired me and I got fired up.
Hallelujah.
If you knew, you would not be crying. Because some of us, God knows, except if he dries up the brook, we won't go. There are doors we're struggling to open. It's God that closed them. But he will never allow a door to close against you if he has not opened another one. God rejected Saul. Samuel was mourning. So God showed up in 1 Samuel 16 verse 1. He said, why are you mourning for Saul? Seeing I've rejected, you better fill your horn with oil and move on to Jesse's house. I won't reject Saul if I didn't have another person. There's a new candidate now. Go to Jesse's house. Stop mourning, my friend. There's a new opportunity waiting. I said there's a new opportunity waiting. Hallelujah. Nothing to mourn about.
When you are anointed, when God's word, God's power is on your life, things don't happen by chance in your life anymore, whether they look positive or negative. There's an edge round about your life that the devil can't break through except God allows him. That's in the story of Job. So things don't happen to you by chance, and you can't just get frustrated anyhow, since God said it. And you don't need to help God to bring it to pass. Sometimes, after God has spoken, things seem to begin to deteriorate. And we feel God is losing out, and we even want to help him. This thing is getting out of God's hand. He's not. He's using it.
There's an elderly pastor who shared with me his own story. He was pastoring the church. They were doing well. In fact, they raised the church building. He was in a denomination and he was just a branch pastor.
As soon as they were through the building project, the deacons wrote a letter to the district headquarters that they should move the pastor. They didn't want him anymore.
And the deacons called him to a meeting and said, we don't want you again. The man said, what did I do? They said, nothing. No, I must have done something. They said, you didn't do anything. We just don't want you anymore. He said, okay. He prayed. He said, he didn't hear anything from God. So he moved.
And this was a pastor who had suffered abject poverty. In that church, he said, he used to sleep on the bench in the church. He didn't even have a personage. He used to sleep on the bench. And that the bench, those benches were so slim that he dare not turn by sleep, or else he will land on the floor.
He said one day he cried out, said, God, take this suffering from me. He said, God said, your suffering remains small. He said, after all this.
Say, pray the next time. Then God said, no problem. Don't talk to me about it anymore. Anything that confronts you from now, confront it. Just pray against it. 6 months after he left that church, he said things just turned around. He bought the first 505 car. Brand new. A few months later, he bought a Mercedes car. He said, within 1 year, He now found it difficult to sleep in a car that didn't have air conditioner. He was trying to remember what it was like to be poor. He was finding it difficult to remember. Within 1 year, he said from that point on, anything he saw, and said, I love this, said God will give him. After I got the 505, got the Mercedes-Benz, he said one day he just saw this Mercedes-Benz 280S there. We call it Concord or Shagari. Okay. He says, I like this car. A few days later, a friend of his drove to the house in that car and said, I want to sell this car to you. Said, he told the man, I don't have the money. The man said, no problem. Pay when you have. He said, no, I don't like owing people money. The man said, He said, just be paying it, whatever you can pay. Just be paying. If you can't complete the payment during your lifetime, your children will finish it when you are through. The man threw the key on the table and walked out. He said, exactly 1 week after that, God gave him the money, he paid. It's not hard. Your own won't be hard. But the church sent him away. Said, we don't want you anymore. So he said it was after he left and he got the first car. He said that was when God now spoke to him and said, actually, your prosperity was not in that church. And if I told you, you wouldn't have left because you just completed the building. It seemed like things were working out for you, but what I had for you was much more than that. And if I told you, you wouldn't have moved. That's why I organized for them to send you away. Hallelujah. Moses. Because this young man was going to be born, Pharaoh gave an instruction they should kill all the male children. They were born about the time he was born. All the same, he was born. And Pharaoh's machinery couldn't catch him. Couldn't get him. He grew up in Pharaoh's palace. You know, when you are looking for your enemy, the place you don't want to search is in your own house. It's like if the state security service are searching for criminals, they can't imagine that the criminal will now move into the flat that is opposite. They won't search there. They will be looking all over the town. But sometimes the criminal can be right opposite the place because they won't think a criminal would dare to come and stay there. So the last place you want to search is in your own house. So God hid Moses where Pharaoh was not looking and used Pharaoh to feed him, clothe him, and pay his school fees. And somewhere along the line, Moses came to the understanding that he was going to deliver Israel. One day, when he thought it was time, he saw an Egyptian fighting with a Jew, with a Hebrew man. He said, come on, this is my assignment, to be the deliverer, the leader. He stepped in, handled the Egyptian, twisted his neck, and killed him, buried him. Nonsense. New champion has arrived on the scene. The next day, he saw two Jews or two Hebrew men quarreling. Then he stepped in and said, come on, why are you quarreling? We can't be fighting ourselves when we are supposed to deal with the Egyptians. Don't quarrel amongst yourselves. One of them just spoke out and said, are you crazy? The first question I have for you is this. Who made you a king over us? Who sent you? Who do you think you grew in Pharaoh's palace? Have you suffered the way we suffered? Nonsense. By the way, you know you killed somebody yesterday. Pharaoh has already had Eddie's just organized and ran out of the country through the border with Benin Republic. Oh Lord. Yeah, we have many people in this country who have escaped like that. The Pharaoh is looking for you, the man ran away. You know why? He was appointed and designed to be the deliverer. But he was not hearing from heaven. That was all. So you can even try to become what God has designed for you to become. But without something flowing from God to you, it will be an exercise that will end up in frustration. So he had to run into the bush. After 40 years, he just made up his mind, I'm not doing it again. And there's someone like that today. God put an idea in your heart. You tried. You failed seriously. And you have made up your mind. You're not even doing it. You want to live a quiet life and just find something else to do. But you won't find fulfillment in anything else. Your success is still waiting for you. Romans 11:29 says that the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. NIV, simpler language. God does not change his mind about those whom he has called. God has not changed his mind. Moses gets there. And then after 40 years, he sees the bush burning. And for the first time, God speaks to him. That was a turning point. Somebody's burning bush is here. You really worked hard. But you have never heard from God. Your success, you know, what was supposed to be success is now becoming frustration. You've tried with your human ability. They hailed you before. You were doing well. Now things are fizzling out and you don't even know how to handle it. Your burning bush experience has arrived. There's a level of success you could never have achieved with your human ability. And God wants to lift you there now. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1. Exodus 7 and verse 1. I'm drawing to a close. Exodus 7 and verse 1. Exodus 7 and verse 1. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you a God to Pharaoh. And Aaron, your brother, will be your prophet or your spokesman. I have made you what? A God. That was after God spoke to him. From today, you will never be a victim anymore. Amen. You will be a victor. Amen. You won't be harassed. You won't be oppressed. You won't go under. You will only be over. Because God's word is coming to you today. In the mighty name of Jesus. There are those who think they are really doing well today. But actually it's just a matter of time. Because they don't determine who won the race at the beginning of the race. At the end. At the end, God will be justified. At the end, the righteous will be justified. At the end, the person who's been carrying the Bible and going to church all the time will be justified. It's just a matter of time. You look stupid sometimes when you carry the Bible, and especially when you begin to say the things God told you. My pastor at a prayer meeting 10th of April 1982 at Ofa, Kwara State, was telling people that they were together at the prayer meeting. While praying, I saw wings flying, and God told me those were the wings of an aircraft and that I would fly in an aircraft, private aircraft, all over Africa preaching the gospel. 82, as at that time. He said some people left the fellowship. They thought it was crazy. He said, I saw a tent seating 50,000 people at the base of this ministry. If he saw it, he saw it. There's no point getting angry about it. Just rejoice with him so that when the wings are flying, you too can ride inside the wing. There's no point quarreling with it. You can't tell me that I should not see what I've seen. I've seen it. I saw us having a very large base. Powerful camp where we will have our own landing facilities. Now I saw church members coming into church in their helicopter jets. I saw the helicopter just parked beside that of the senior pastor.
I can't be seeing things for you and not see for myself. You understand?
If I saw it. I saw us in an African nation, which we're going to do. We'll go to those African nations and hold powerful success crusades that God will use to turn the destinies of those nations around. And I saw us flying. And you know, the scenario I saw was very interesting. I saw private jets coming in. And then they would think that I had arrived and eventually discovered that it was not I. It was one of my sons flying in. In his private jet. And that by the time I would arrive, I saw us going to African nations. Well, if you don't understand that, what they are doing is sowing seeds to connect with the prophetic statements I'm making. They're tapping into it. If I say sons, I'm not talking about people from, I'm talking about you. You are the ones I saw. I saw us in those African nations and those seminars. I saw that sometimes I would have to cut the time of my message in half because I would call you to come and give a testimony. And you will give a testimony of how I said this and how it has come to pass. God didn't send me to teach people to use their brain to try to succeed. God sent me to people who will succeed and prosper by the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God. In our own generation, there are Josephs showing up. I saw 2 years ago, just a little less than 2 years ago, I saw members of our church and the ones who believe in our ministry taking over the economies of nations. The economies of nations. God showed me that. He said, these people are too great to share just the wealth of this nation. I'll give them the wealth of the nations of the world. In fact, I saw clearly how someone will go and run the national carrier for an African country. I saw that. They will invite the person and say, help us to run the fleet, the airline for the country, for the whole country. Help us to hire jets and purchase jets for the presidential fleet and the commercial airline owned by the government. If I saw it, I saw it. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 19, the Son can of himself do nothing. If anybody was intelligent, Jesus was intelligent. He said the Son can of himself do nothing, but whatsoever he sees the Father doing. He said, for the Father loves the Son and shows him whatsoever himself is doing. That there's a difference between working for God and walking with God. Not walk, walk. And Enoch walked with God and was not. Enoch walked with God to the point where God thought, this man is too much. I'm enjoying this guy. He's not supposed to be on the same realm with everybody else, so God picked him out from his generation. God will single you out. He will pick you out. It's one thing for you to fashion your life program and to ask God to come and help you to do what you have decided to do. It's another thing for you to ask God, where do you want us to go? And then as he takes the steps ahead of you, you plant your leg exactly where his own steps have been.
and follow him wherever he's going. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you what?
Rest.
He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of, check the way I'm doing it, and you shall find rest for your souls. Stop struggling. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, stop struggling. Don't carry a load that God didn't design for you. It's not hard. Jesus shows up and says to Simon Peter, launch out into the deep, throw your net for a catch. Peter says, this is the most unlikely time to catch a fish. By the way, I've sighted inside that sea. I tried from last night till now. I didn't catch anything. There's no fish there. You don't say that when you have received a signal from heaven. The very place where nobody caught anything, you will catch. Now, that is what will make you a sign and a wonder in this nation. In the very place where people said there was poverty or failure or lack, this is where you will break through. I'm serious. There are some people God will lead outside this nation, but the majority of us are not going anywhere. The place where we will produce is here. Life. The world will be confounded by the wealth that will be generated here. Because the one who invested the wealth in the soil till today, whatever he invested there must obey his voice. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn of me. Check out the way I did it. And he got it by receiving divine signals. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, he called unto him the 12 and gave them power over against unclean spirits to cast them out. In Luke 22:35, he asked them, he said, when I sent you out 2 by 2, did you lack anything? They said, nothing. If he's the one who sent you, you won't lack. Abundance answers to obedience. In Genesis 26, there was famine in the land. Isaac was running down to Egypt. God stopped him at Gerar. He said, don't go down to Egypt. Stay here. Why was Isaac going to Egypt? His own father ran to Egypt when there was famine. So Isaac was going to solve his problem the way his father solved it. God said, no, I don't duplicate miracles. I mean, I've done breakthrough for your father. I'm going to do your own in a different way. Don't go to Egypt. I'll do your own here. And now we get the testimony in Genesis 26 verse 12. And Isaac sowed in that land and reaped 100-fold. It's not everywhere that you sow that you reap 100-fold. It's when you sow in obedience to divine signals. It's because God told him to stay there. That was why he sowed and got 100-fold. The Bible says, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. And the Philistines envied him. Get ready. All those who thought you would not make it will be shocked. All those who think they have some intelligence that nobody has seen before will be surprised. Because divine intelligence and divine strategy will beat them hands down. They're about to run into problems they will not be able to solve. Dreams they will not be able to interpret. Because the day Joseph must come out of prison, somebody must have a dream they won't be able to interpret. You are coming out. I said, you are coming out. God told me we won't count steps to get there. We won't count steps to get. We can't catch up with the world, with the human brain. We can't. He told me it will happen like it did for Joseph. Some people are going to receive revelations and words and dreams from God. For 13 years, it won't look like it. For Joseph, 13 years, until people will think you have failed. 13 years. There are some people here. 3 years ago, God spoke to you. 2 years ago, God spoke to you. 5 years ago, God spoke to you. Since then, you've been having such a rough time. I have good news for you. I said, I have good news for you. Presently, your brothers seem to be doing better. Your sisters seem to be doing better. Your friends seem to be doing better. Your classmates in school seem to be doing better. But they have not yet seen you. The day God will lift you. The day God will lift you. The day God will lift you. The God that I serve. The God who sent me for the lifting of many in Africa. The day that God will lift you, those who sold you into slavery will bow down to you. The very people who did not believe in you, you will become the sustenance of those people. Joseph fed his brothers, fed their families, fed their children. It's not what happens at the beginning. It's not what happens at the middle. It's what happens at the end. And I have good news today. You will live to be 80, 90, 100, 120. You are in your 20s or 30s or 40s. Some people are already getting to believe that you have failed. I have good news. You have not yet failed. You have not yet failed. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. I declare today by the Spirit of a living God, the God who backs me up, the God who walks with me, the God who led us to organize this Success Power Seminar, I declare in His name, everything the devil has done to run you down, tonight I declare it has become an advantage in your life. What the devil called a test has become a testimony. The mess that the devil put into your life has become a message. In the mighty name of Jesus, your life that was a source of reproach and people didn't want to come near you, family members did not want to identify, your brothers didn't want to show that they are your brothers, your sisters are not proud to say they are your sisters, I declare, your dignity has arrived. The very person they don't want to identify with is the one they will not be able to do without. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Because God's voice has come to you today, the sickness that threatened your destiny, today we destroy it in the name of Jesus. Because God has spoken to you today, that reproductive organ that has not been working begins to work now in the name of Jesus. The God who sent me showed me and told me that He would put wealth here. Because poverty is what the devil used to harass our generation. He said He will put the wealth so much in the church, people will not doubt what we are saying anymore. The words of a poor man are despised. The wisdom of the poor man is despised. Your wisdom will not be despised anymore. He said He will put the wealth here. He told me earlier this year that through our seminars, He will break the backbone of poverty. So this morning, I declare, the backbone of poverty and lack is broken. In the name of Jesus. I send you forth to hit a gusher. Hey! Hit a gusher. Hit a gusher. Hit a gusher. Take over. Take over. The economy of this city, take over. The economy of this nation, take over. The economy of African nations, take over. The economy of the Western world, take over. The economy of the Asian tigers, take over. In the name of Jesus. Take over the gold. Take over the silver. Take over the diamonds. In the name of Jesus. Take over the oil. Take over the information technology industry. Take over the publishing industry. Take over the aviation industry. Take over the construction industry. take over the financial institutions in the name of Jesus. As you have heard and believed these words this morning, so shall it be in your life. By the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, for the sake of Africa and the whole world, I declare today you shall not die. You will live to see the fulfillment of these words in the name of Jesus. This is your day. This is your time. He said in Proverbs 1:23, turn at my reproof. Turn at my reproof. He said, and I will make known my words to you, and I will pour out my spirit to you. His word and his spirit, that's a combination. That's where you get the power. But he said, turn at my reproof. You see, if you don't know how to make a U-turn, you will end up in a dead end. Someone here today, just a U-turn. God spoke to you before. You are not obeying the thing anymore. And God is reminding you, this is what I told you. You are on the wrong job. You are in the wrong line. You are in the wrong business. This is what I told you. Change. Turn it around. Turn at my reproof. And when you turn, it becomes your turn. I prophesy on you this morning, restoration. 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 It seemed like Moses had lost his destiny. All the 40 years he was in the wilderness, he didn't lose it. No, when he came back, God gave it back to him. What you lost in marriage, get it back. What you lost in your career, get it back. The years you lost in education, get them back. The opportunities you lost, get them back. The promotion that was delayed, get it. In the name of Jesus. All the silent years of Joseph. God permitted those years quite all right. But wherever Joseph went, he had favor. Potiphar's house, favor. Prison yard, favor. From today, I declare, whatever the position or condition or location is, enter a supernatural realm of favor. In the name of Jesus. Around your life, there will always be signs to encourage you on that God is still in charge of your case until the time of manifestation has arrived. Favor. If it's in school, favor. On the job, favor. On the job, favor. Oh, yes, in business, favor. In marriage, favor. That woman who has lost favor with her husband, receive it now in the name of Jesus. Favor with your parents. Favor with your children. Favor with your boss. Favor with your friends. In the name of Jesus. There's a plague that is coming to an end here today. It's the plague of begging. God can't bless you. And at the end of the day, human beings will not take the glory for what God has done. From today, you will not beg anymore. What God has ordained for you will come to you. I prophesy a season of honor, a season of dignity. You won't beg. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. You won't beg. The one who called you will not leave you. He won't leave you. And if he doesn't leave you, then you won't beg. In the name of Jesus. A man's enemies are they of his own household. The first set of people to criticize you and run you down when things are not working out, the people in your house. But the stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. The church has been despised around here. But the hour of honor and dignity has arrived. And you will be the proof of it. That serving God pays. Our generation is just privileged to be the one to prove that God prospers. That's all. So today, enter into it. Houses that you did not build. Vineyards and companies you did not plant. Oil wells that you did not dig. He told me at the turn of the second half of this year that there shall be transfer of wealth into the church. Today I connect you with it. I connect you with it. In the name of Jesus. I open you up to mental excellence. Supernatural ideas. In the name of Jesus. Goliath is threatening them in the world. They are afraid. It is time for national crisis, but it's time for a young man's promotion. His name is David. He doesn't know how to fight with spear. He doesn't know how to fight with spear and with shield. He only knows how to use catapult. But catapult in the hand of an anointed man or woman is enough. See, I don't have PhD. I didn't go to Oxford. I don't know anybody. That's okay. The one you know is enough. Under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. It's enough. It's enough. It's enough. Henry Ford was just a plain mechanic. So Ichiro Honda was just a plain mechanic. Founded the Honda Motor Company, founded Ford Motor Company. What did they know? Asakandla, who founded Coca-Cola, was a drugstore clerk in the supermarket. There's no reason why you won't make it. Bill Gates is a school dropout. He dropped out of university. Said, I don't have PhD. What do you want to have? The second richest man after him, the man who owns Oracle, he also dropped out of university. Second richest man in the world. What are you looking for? Five smooth stones. With a catapult under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That one you have, that one you know, is good enough. The people under the sound of my voice begin to rise into national prominence. Begin to rise into international prominence. National prominence, international prominence, national prominence, international prominence, national prominence, international prominence, national prominence, international prominence, national influence, international influence, in the name of Jesus. The military generals were there. It was a shepherd boy from the bush. Begin to tread the palaces of this world. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I present to you these great men and women for the purpose of the fulfillment of the prophecies, for the purpose of the fulfillment of your word. Lord, thank you for the initial signs to encourage our faith within the next 7 days. Seven days. On the seventh day, God entered his rest. 6 days he worked. On the seventh day, he entered his rest. 7 days. In the next 7 days, someone enters her rest. Someone enters his rest. Some issues are resolved forever. In the name of Jesus. In the next 7 days, somebody's finances turns around. Never to come down again forever. In the next 7 days, someone conceives a miracle baby. I thank you, Father, as I present these great men and women to the world as signs and wonders, spectacles before the world, sources of amazement and bewilderment to our world. Lord, they are celebrities. Their destinies must be celebrated. In Jesus' mighty name. Someone shout a big amen. Give him a big, big hand clap. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Woo! Hallelujah. Slap high fives with some five people. Tell them I'm on a new level. Hallelujah. I'm on a new level, brother. I'm up. Oh, Lord. Woo! It's the dawn of a new day. It's the dawn of a new day. It's the dawn of a new day. Those who thought they knew you before now will realize they never knew you before. It's the dawn of a new day. Woo! Hey. Hey. Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@dashng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregun, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.